I'd like to turn to four scriptures. First in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, page 1334 in my Bible, and verse 21. Acts 20, verse 21. Testifying to both Jews and Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And then a couple of pages previously, Acts 17 and verse 30. Acts 17 and verse 30. God, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent, because he has set a day in which he is going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, giving the proof of it all in having raised him from among the dead. Now in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, Matthew 27 and verse 38. Then are crucified with him two robbers, one on the left hand and one on the left. But the passers-by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou art Son of God, descend from the cross. And in like manner the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. He is King of Israel, let him descend now from the cross, and we will believe on him. He trusted upon God, let him save him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am Son of God. And the robbers also, who had been crucified with him, cast the same reproaches on him. And lastly, in Luke 23, Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, and verse 39. Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? And we, indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'd like to speak a few words about repentance and belief. These are the two themes that Paul spoke of here in the first passage I read of. And repentance, it cannot be undervalued. John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus, Paul, Peter, they all referred to repentance. I referred earlier to, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all at a distance naturally from God. We know well sin came in at the beginning, and all of Adam's race includes you and me. We're all in, we've all been, it says in Psalm 51, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And therefore, repentance is required. What does repentance mean? It's probably not an easy thing for children especially to understand, let alone, well, it's not easy for me to understand, let alone a child. So I'll try my best. A turning around, a change of heart. Self-judgment, all these things were going on naturally before we believe, before we're converted. We're going in what we want to do, our own direction. And we have to come to it that we're sinners and God is right and we've been wrong up to that point. Some of us, it takes longer than others. Myself, I took a very long time. God was very patient with me. And hopefully all here have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, their Saviour. But the gospel goes out. You've got another opportunity today, if you haven't already. But we have to acknowledge, as I've said, we have to repent and acknowledge our sinnership, our distance from God. In ourselves, we're incapable of having our sins forgiven. God has laid that righteous basis in the Lord Jesus going the way of the cross. But this one verse might say, there's a verse that includes everything needed for the glad tidings, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Another verse that says something very similar in Thessalonians. Turn from idols. Let's read it before I misquote it. How ye turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. A turning around. I think it's been said 180 degree turn. We're going on in our own strength, thinking we know what's right, or having no appreciation of God. Or perhaps we've been brought up in Christian households and the story of God, the story of Jesus, we agree with it, we go along with it, but has it done anything personally to us? Has there been a personal transaction? And I suppose if we're brought up in Christian households, and we'd be thankful for that, what a blessing it is. But we each have to come to it for ourselves. And I was speaking earlier about how fragile life is, how we need to grasp, accept the opportunity offered in the glad tidings while it's available. The next I read in Acts 17, God enjoins or commands men that they should all everywhere repent. It's a commandment of God, because he has set a day in which he is going to judge habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, giving the proof of it to all in having raised him from among the dead. The gospel terms, it's very black and white. There's no middle ground. You're either found or you're lost. I think, is it Luke 19? For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And we start in that lost condition. Early Romans tells us of what we are naturally. Perhaps I'll quote a verse or two from there too. And according as they did not think good to have God in their knowledge. And then a couple chapters on. There is not a righteous man, not even one. There is not the man that understands. There is not one that seeks after God. My desire is that you realise that if you haven't already come to know the Lord Jesus, your Saviour, you come to realise that you're a sinner and you need a Saviour. And God's great love is towards you. He doesn't desire that any should perish. Again, it refers to that, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God's desire is. Wonderful grace and mercy in that shown towards you, towards all of us, that we who did not deserve it, God has sent his only begotten Son to die in our stead. We deserve death, but the Lord Jesus went that way so that we might not need to die in our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. But has this hit home with yourselves? Have you owned it personally for yourself? Are you self-righteous, or have you come in self-judgment? And it is God's command that you should repent, that you all everywhere repent. I was next thinking of examples in the scriptures. I was thinking of Paul. Think of Paul. He was thinking he was doing what was right. And perhaps that's what we were like before we came to Jesus. We thought what we were doing was right. And he got so far away from the truth. He was consenting to Stephen being killed. He was going up to Damascus to round up more Christians. And he was met by God. And you could see repentance there in Acts 9, is it, and the other corresponding chapters in Acts, where it speaks of his conversion. But I thought I'd read about the two malefactors, and in Matthew 27, it sets the scene of the two. On the right hand and the left hand, the two crosses either side of the Lord Jesus. And there was no difference in a way with these two on either side, even at this moment, just before the Lord Jesus gave up his life. The robbers also who had been crucified with him cast the same reproaches on him. And then we have the lovely passage in Luke 23. Probably as children, we all like this wonderful passage in Luke 23. Because it speaks of someone that was lost and then was found in his last hours, who came to a realization of who was there in their midst. And this is what the Gospels, the Scriptures, they speak to us of the Lord Jesus. And you can see his perfect life in these four Gospels. And you can see that he came to do the Father's will and to deal with that great question of sin and our sins. And we have here the three crosses, and the one appears that one of them was lost forever. And the importance in the gospel is that it's to do with your never dying soul. There's nothing that compares to answering the gospel message in your lives. Many other important things we go through in life, but they're just a small, very small compared to coming to know the Lord Jesus, your Saviour, because this is eternity, speaks of eternity, and what goes beyond this scene. We're only here for a short time. The years, I'm sure, everyone here, the older ones here, me included, will testify, life goes by very quickly. Well-known passage in James puts it very well. Life is as a vapor, appears for a little while and then disappears. And also, we cannot guarantee tomorrow. You hear of many instances of a life being taken just like that. Also, we're coming to the end of this wonderful day of grace, I believe. God's patience will run out and everything will have been accomplished in this time period, and there'll be no further gospel preachings. I'll therefore urge you, if you haven't already, and the children, they probably think they've got many years ahead, to worry about accepting Lord Jesus. If they haven't already, I hope they have. But if they haven't, I would urge you to accept while you can, to come to Lord Jesus while you have the opportunity. But it's been said, it's not original with me, but it's been said in this passage, you have the heart of man made known, you have the heart of God made known, and you have the heart of the Lord Jesus made known. The heart of man put the Lord Jesus on the cross. That's, and we all have our part in that. The heart of God made known in sending Jesus here to deal with the sin, our sins, and the heart of Jesus made known in that he went this way. Appeals to me. Does it appeal to you? Just wonderful to see that this man came to know Jesus while he had this opportunity. And you could see this full repentance he had. He owned up to what he was. We indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. The right appreciation of the Lord Jesus, he had a right appreciation of himself. And then beyond that, he even had an appreciation of what was beyond the grave for him. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This passage, and especially like Luke 16, where the curtain's been pulled aside for a little bit and we can see what's beyond the grave, beyond death. And Luke 16 speaks a lot of the rich man who had splendour. And he had everything, you might say, materially, but he did not have the Lord Jesus. He did not know God. And when his time was over here, he went to hell, so to speak. It's a place of Hades, but he had those times of torment, and it's been said that how terrible it seems from reading Luke 16, if it's that terrible to read, what will it actually be like in reality? And again, you have the end of Revelation. It speaks about the white throne, the lake of fire. But you do not, dear friend, need to go that way. The gospel is going out from a God who loves you, because he sent his only begotten Son. We all know the youngest can probably quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. That's God's heart of love made known to you. Have you accepted it for yourself? By all accounts, this is the only passage in Scripture where someone in their last days comes to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. And it's been said that none might despair because you have that opportunity. We hear there's quite a few deathbed conversions, but also none might presume as well. There's only one told here, said you cannot guarantee tomorrow. So repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, those are the two terms we might say of the gospel. I'm sure there's many other aspects to it too, but I just wanted to refer to those two items. Have you come the way of repentance? Have you turned around, realised, accepted you're a sinner before a holy, righteous God, and put your faith and trust in Lord Jesus, the only Saviour of sinners? May you do so this day while you have the opportunity. If you haven't already, may it be so for his name's sake. Amen.